everybody, to the Getaway Podcast with Tony, Sean, and I am Tony.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Jeff.
Sorry, that was that West Coast delay. We're on a West Coast delay. But we are back for episode 37, Goat Walker.
For the
hashtag
third time.
Goat Walker.
Hashtag.
Goat Walker.
Oh.
Clickbait. Goat Walker.
No clickbait.
NFL championships. Goat Walker.
He's got a college, he's got a college football award named after him.
Best running back,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, best running back.
Yes, the best running back award, Goat Walker, episode 37. So
Dope.
We are back. This is take three.
Three!
Some technical difficulties. We got DJ Clueless on the wheels of steel.
You see it over here, baby. I'm an expert.
Sean Huffman. All right. Whew. Guys, I don't know. We brought it twice.
I know. Here we go.
And in between.
We were bringing it twice.
Like the pre... Right. The pre and the in between was hot.
Man, so we got to get that same energy back. Sean, what is it like out there on the West Coast right now?
You know, it's the same as it's been since I got here in February 2018. It's nice.
Nice. Okay.
Sunshine and tacos, though. Yeah, my bad. Sunshine and tacos.
Okay. We've had a couple days of sunshine. We haven't had tacos, but we have had 60 plus degree weather. So folks are lightening up a little bit with spring.
Welcome to spring, y'all.
Here. Yes. Yes. Chicago. Check in from Chicago. Jeff, what y'all looking like over there?
Hey, we looking about the same as you, Tone. Sitting in that mid to low 60 range. Look, hoping that we don't get that Easter snap, right?
Mm-hmm.
So right now it's been feeling pretty good.
All right, the Midwest, and you're actually feeling really good right now, right?
I am, man. You know, my Wolverines are still in the tourney. They still alive. Representing the Big Ten.
That's right. Congratulations.
Unlike that, I'm gonna go ahead and take my shot. Unlike that one school located in the central part of that state that we all originated from.
That's right. The number one school. You're right. That one school.
Although they were like the number one school that just blew up everybody's bracket. But hey.
Man, well, let me tell you, they were probably 1/10 of what blew up everybody's bracket because it's been a disaster the last few days since this thing started.
But y'all got it started. Y'all set the tone.
You're right. That's right. That's right. And I tell you what, I am happy for y'all. I will be rooting for y'all. Everybody needs a little bit of success.
So we got that on tape. We got a recording. We got you on record.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Y'all hear them gunshots?
As much time as y'all spend having to root for us, watching us perform when it matters, you know, the least we can do is root for y'all when it matters.
It matters right now. You're right. But, you know, we don't stay current. So right now, y'all on the couch
you're
watching.
Right.
So.
But we have learned from y'all on how to be humble. And wait our turn.
There's nothing humble
wait,
about Ohio State.
And wait, and wait,
nothing.
And wait.
There's
and
nothing
wait.
Humble.
All right, on loop.
About
you guys
being
wait
in
on
this.
Loop.
Nothing.
Wait
nothing
on loop. Humble. Patience.
You know,
patience, young grasshopper.
The job.
At least
the job.
It takes 70,000 people to spell a four-letter word. But, you know, I appreciate the fact that y'all, you know, get stuck.
Jeff, you still got that same joke?
What's that?
The 70,000 people to spell a four-letter word.
Yeah. Go ahead, Notre Dame.
But you know what? Here's the deal. The job of a good fight promoter is to put together one fighter and another fighter, and it matches up and it presents. This is like Hagler Hearns round one. Y'all want to keep going? Because, you know, me and the two other people that are watching live right now, we enjoy it. Let's go. Keep going.
No, I was as sincere as I could be when I say I hope they continue to represent the Big Ten, who is really struggling. The league's really struggling right now in the tournament. Represent, and hopefully, for my bracket's sake, they are in the Final Four. So,
you pushed them to the Final Four.
I pushed them to the Final Four.
Who, Michigan?
Yes,
I like the way they're playing. I do like the way they're playing.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. It's a change. Because usually, you know, they're not relevant when it's when it matters. But
maybe this they're year, playing they so good are. Right now out of fear because they saw their coach expose the Chicago South Side of him when that head coach from, when that head coach from Maryland started talking off popping off
outside his neck.
Yeah, man. He, you know, he was on with Jalen Rose. Jalen Rose asked him on Jalen Jacoby why did he respond? What happened? He was like, "Hey, man, it wasn't nothing but." I was trying to talk to the refs about a certain play and what happened in that play. And the coach was talking about, I'm out the box. And he was like, right, we're going to do that. And then, and he said, the coach turned to him and started walking towards him. Like he was going to do something. And Juwan said, ain't no punk. What are we doing?
It said it turned back the clock on him.
For a second. You see how many people it took to hold him back. And he was like, no, get off me, son. It was easy. And if he wanted to go get it, he could have went and got him. But yeah, you know, if I'm a player and I see that out of my coach, I might be willing to play a little harder.
Well, you know that coach of the year honors.
There you go. Know?
Hey, they got it rolling right now. You know, hopefully it extends through the end of the tournament. Right. Finally.
Can we get Harbaugh to come to a practice or something?
Look, we might need him to come watch and have Juwan come out and talk to the team.
Shake him up a little bit. Who got something to say to Debo?
Let Juwan come out to the spring practice real quick and just be like, fellas, look.
That's
this
it.
This is how you do it. This is how you do it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it takes.
All right.
Whatever it takes.
So shifting gears, but still staying on you, Jeff, because, man, you just got it going on right now. Man, your teams are all trying to make big moves. So you got the team up north still in it and sitting pretty. You got the Chicago Bears, your NFL squad, just found their franchise quarterback this week. They let Mitchell Trubisky, you know, walk, and they signed the Red Rifle, Andy Dalton, to a 1-year, $10+ million contract.
Poor Chicago.
Woo-wee. NFC North, look out. The black and blue division just got red. What have you to say about that?
Nothing. As I said before, I think I said it on a prior podcast.
I ain't no Bears fan, is what he gonna say.
I am not a Bears fan. I will support them as the fact that I live in the city. I grew up a Cowboy fan.
How about the Cowboys?
But I will say this, Tone. I think your enthusiasm for Dalton being signed is probably you're probably the only one expressing it when that's signed. No one here is excited about that move. Everybody
sure his
thought
wife
they
was happy.
They thought the Bears fumbled that like they fumbled when they drafted Trubisky. So although I would say, well, we'll stay on I'll wait for that later, but it seems like the young man that everybody was trying to, you know, we passed up on is having some legal troubles down in Houston. So,
Okay.
We're going to the serious part of the conversation.
No. I'm going to stay off of that because right now,
I think that's a good move.
So until more comes out, I think it's a safe one to leave alone.
That's what we're doing. We don't want to be cutting edge on this. We're just going to leave it be.
The Bears have not got it right at the quarterback position. And I mean, let's be honest. They've never had a great quarterback.
Ever.
Jim McMahon was not a great quarterback. He was lucky because of that defense and Peyton.
Well, why won't we talk about Deshaun?
Yeah, I think we need to leave that alone for right now.
Why?
We don't have
I say we wait. We wait till the facts come out. We wait till right now all we're doing is speculating, and I don't care.
But I will say this.
I don't care if it's him or anybody else.
I want to speculate on the side of conspiracy theory.
Okay.
Can I do that?
So absolutely. I think it's a smear campaign.
I think it's a smear campaign, and I think it's a real big coinky dink. That's coincidence. Coinky dink that. The person, the attorney representing the women, is now up to 12.
So I heard.
Is a friend of the owner of the Texans. Ooh. It's a real
here's
big
why I buy into that, Sean.
I'm just saying.
Sean, okay, so here's why I buy into that. Here's why I buy into that. Deshaun Watson, when we talk about Deshaun Watson, if you go back to the time he spent here, the time before he made it into the league, he's always had a certain image,
right?
A very clean image. And the reality of it is, man, these things to this degree don't typically just pop up.
No,
there's you can always find somebody that's like, yeah, I told you. Yeah. Listen, this has come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Right.
And to come out of nowhere, not once, not twice, not three times, 12 people in 2 weeks.
Right.
That's nuts.
Just all of a sudden.
All of a
sudden. I had not heard about the attorney being a friend of the owner. That's nuts. That's
crazy. I read that yesterday. It came out yesterday. And what normally happens, Tone, you are absolutely right. Like what normally happens is they get to the pro level and they get in trouble. And then all of a sudden, from back in college, you get all these people chiming in like, yep, back when we were in school, back at Clemson, or in the case I'm thinking of, back in Florida, Mr. Hernandez was XYZ. Right. Mm-hmm. And that we still haven't heard that from anybody at Clemson yet. And I know Dabo is a huge Deshaun Watson character guy and big on the character. So we'll wait to see, like you guys said earlier, but I just wanted to put that out there so we have it going forward. Right now, we are on the record of saying it's a big coinky dink that the attorney is a close friend of the owner of the Houston Texans.
Now let's talk facts because it's related.
Okay.
Houston also just signed. They just signed a quarterback,
Tyrod
Taylor.
Yeah,
to a free agent contract, and basically, that was a shot out to Deshaun Watson. Now, I believe that's what it was. Nobody else cared about that signing, but I think that was a direct message to Deshaun Watson.
Basically saying.
Okay, my man, we're not going to trade you. We're not going to let you out. You can sit out. We'll win as many games as we probably would have won, because if you look at the record last year, okay, this is a capable place setter. If we let you go, we're going to have to find the next guy anyway. We can already start looking for the next guy, and all it's going to do is cost you money, because we're not going to let you go. That's what I think they're saying.
I don't know all the details. How many more years are left on his contract? Is he still on his rookie?
He just re-signed that big, huge deal.
He's in trouble.
He signed that big, huge deal. And I believe that was after they let Hopkins go. That would have been last year.
He's in trouble. He doesn't have any leverage, right?
None. None now.
Not announced the leverage.
None now.
And I saw where Will Fuller, they let him go, or he traded him to the Dolphins, the receiver from Notre Dame, traded him to the Dolphins, and he posted something on Instagram, and your boy DeAndre Hopkins, who got out early too, he commented on his post and said, "We made it out." They are not happy with that organization, man. It's a bad thing.
Hey. So J.J. Watt,
yeah,
giving each other dap over social media. Hey, even the coach that got fired, he's like, I wasn't the problem.
Right. What a mess.
Maybe I wasn't the problem.
What a mess.
So New England Patriots re-signed Cam Newton to a year deal. Now,
Cam,
a little different than his So a little different than his last year's contract, which was almost a minimum contract.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think he got $14 million. I'm sure there's some incentives in it. Okay. That was an interesting one as well. Because everybody was talking about how, he was foregone conclusion, he was going to be out the door. I'm interested to see how this works. What we've also seen over the last week and a half, New England has spent some serious jack on free agents.
Yeah.
Okay. And people say, nobody really gets that much better with free agency. They are doing some things that really resemble what they did years back when they drafted Aaron Hernandez early in the draft, when they drafted Gronkowski early in the draft, Aaron Hernandez in the fourth round.
Right.
All of a sudden, they created a little bit of a blueprint for some success. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now you look at Cam, you look back at Cam last year. Cam did not have a terrible year. It kind of went downhill after the COVID. And we all know that we don't know anything about, COVID and the effects and the lasting effects and things like that.
Right.
But he had a pretty good year going until then. He also had no supporting cast. You know, you expected Edelman, who is a borderline Hall of Famer, to be there. He's not there. Then you have guys opting out of contracts because of COVID. Then you have, you know, basically young players who some of them aren't even going to be here going forward. You know, you have an offensive line that had been decimated. You got a lot of flux, okay, as far as the team. But from a draft standpoint, they just drafted they took Smith in free agency, who was with, I believe, the Titans, right? Mm-hmm. See Titans tight end, one of the better tight ends of the league. They also took the cat from out in San Diego, who had been hurt a little bit, but came into the league with, you know, high regards, you know, high expectations. So if he can stay healthy, they're kind of putting together those two tight ends. And Sean, who are the best friends of a quarterback?
Tight end. Our boy, exactly. Our boy Jay Reed, he says the tight end is always open.
Tight end is always open. So, you know, they're loading the backfield still. You got that. They're trying to put these pieces around Cam. Belichick is basically saying, you ain't going to see me sitting on the side. You ain't going to see me pulling a Michigan 2 years in a row. That's what he said.
It always circles back, man.
He's trying to bring it back. Always trying to bring it back. Always trying to bring it back.
It's like that gif of the beautiful mind and the dude that got all the diagrams going up on the board. And here comes Tony right back to that Michigan thing, boy. Ooh, the hatred is real.
But no. But you knew what I was talking about.
I get it. Whew, my goodness. Look, the Patriots, they're going to be reloaded.
That's right. But it was a Michigan man that left him sitting on the bench, right? Left him sitting on the couch. But go ahead. Yeah. You were saying, Sean?
You saying you got the best quarterback in the history of the NFL? He came from Michigan? Is that what you're saying? The GOAT?
No, I'm just saying. Okay. Just saying.
Claim it, Jeff. Go on and claim it, man.
I'm just saying.
Even though it could be a guy from Notre Dame. I wonder if Ohio Ooh. State has anybody in that discussion. Joe Montana.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
No, but hold on.
Does Ohio State have anybody in that conversation?
Yeah, they got Arch Schleister.
I bet you they'll say Arch Schleister.
I bet you they will.
Yard quarterback. Hey, now hold on a second. So we can say that the possibly the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL came from Michigan, right?
Or
but even Michigan couldn't see it. But even Michigan couldn't see it because he wasn't even the starter.
I knew he was going to
He did start.
That.
He did start. Let's see. Put it this not, way. He won the national title, though, right? He not won the national long. Title, though, right? He was the starter for the national title. And that, again, yes, we know how long it goes, but he was. So move on. Ew. So you were saying now?
I love it, man. This is so fun. We even got extra time because of the technical difficulties. We got extra pregame time. We got extra repair time. We got the live time. Oh, I love every minute of it. I don't know what to do with y'all, man.
And I don't either. It's fun to be back. It's fun to be back after a week.
So there's
what's that?
I was just saying, I see that there's some talk about Foles going back to the Eagles to possibly back up Hurts.
So this is just kind of like, listen, everything I've heard about Foles, he's a great guy. I'll be honest with you. Like, man, I don't care what Foles does. Foles to me.
He's over it. He's over Foles.
I'm over that. Like, listen, Foles has been to a few spots. Foles fell into a great situation. He stepped up. He did exactly what he's supposed to do and ain't been able to do nothing since. It really didn't do that much before. The reality of it is, go back up Jalen Hurts, and both of them will be gone within 2 years, okay? Because that place is a dumpster fire anyway. That's the fact. Now, with that being said, you all are both Cowboy fans, right? Y'all should be really happy right now, because the fact of the matter is you have the best quarterback in the NFC East, okay? The NFC East is in shambles. You have the best quarterback. You have the best talent in the NFC East, okay? Listen, it's all lining up for you. Assuming Dak Prescott comes back, you know, and is able to perform, you know, post-injury, I think it's lining up for it. I think it's all setting up for a nice little run.
Well, they got to fix that defense. The defense was broken, even though they had. I'm not talking about personnel wise. I'm talking about schematic.
Well, they did. Well, but you bring in Dan Quinn, who is regarded as probably is going to end up being, or he's regarded as one of the best D coordinators.
Okay.
Period. I think that's going to mean a big difference. Okay. Because like you said, Sean, you know as well as anybody, personnel, like you said, they have good personnel on the defensive side.
Yeah.
Schematically, you bring a guy in who obviously you didn't keep him after last year.
Right.
You bring a guy in. You change up things. This is COVID. Okay. We talked about it. We'll get into it a little bit when it comes to college basketball. You don't have the time to put in and do these. And you're doing things that the guys didn't believe in anyway.
Right.
Okay. For the personnel that you have. You bring in a Dan Quinn. Now, the bigger issue I think they could potentially have, and you know as well as I do, sometimes you got too many cooks in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Okay. You got Quinn, who has been to a Super Bowl more recently than Coach McCarthy, okay? And he's going to be not the number one guy, but a coordinator. You got McCarthy, who,
I don't buy that. When it comes to the NFL, I don't buy because there are staffs all over the league that have former head coaches. I mean, those guys aren't going to leave and go to college. They're going to stay in the NFL.
I get it.
I'm okay with it. I think there's a certain level of. I mean, look, there are sometimes cases where it's been reversed, right? A guy was an assistant here, and he gets hired as a head coach, and then where he used to be, the guy that was the head coach gets fired, and then he brings him on as his assistant. I don't think that it's a problem.
I get what you're saying, but in an atmosphere and an environment that is Dallas, right? Every year, there's a lot of finger pointing. It was like that when Jason Garrett was there. Is it the offensive coordinator? Is it the head coach? Is it the D coordinator? Is it the owner? Is it the personnel? Who is it? A situation where there's always going to be, listen, is it the guys we've signed to high contracts? Oh. I just, you know what? I don't know.
It happens. We'll see. It happens everywhere. In Cincinnati, they blame the owner.
Consistently. It's right. No different in a year.
But in New York, yeah, they blame the head coach in New York, and then they blame it happens at every team. Who they blaming in Chicago? In Chicago, they were blaming the GM.
Yeah.
It happens everywhere. I'm not worried about that. They'll be okay. They'll be professionals. Do your job. Look, especially like you're saying, Tone, if you're loaded with talent, all you got to do is put together a good scheme. Hold guys accountable and put together a good game plan on game day and go play ball when you got dogs. I remember coaching semi-pro with you, Tone, and the one thing that I was we were concerned about was, is this person here? Yep. Okay, good. Is this person here? Yep. Okay, we're good. And is this person here? Okay, we're good. Right? There were certain guys that we needed to make sure that were there. If they weren't there, we were going to have some issues. We might have to do a little more coaching, a little more scheming. But when we had the dogs, we weren't worried about anything. So when your dogs are there, when Dak is there and Zeke is there, and the receivers show up and the defense is there, all those guys are there and everybody's healthy, which is another issue, health. Let's go play ball. I used to tell Fat Boy, Coach, go bear. They're killing us. Go bear. I said, we can't even run base. If we can't run base, we can't do nothing extra. Let's get the basics down.
What you just described, though, sounds like every other team in the NFL right now. All those pieces got to come together for everybody.
That's right. Health-wise, because what's the difference? Coaching, ownership, what's the difference between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and whoever the worst team in the league was last year? What's the difference? Tom Brady?
I can sum it up in one statement.
What?
The best ability
is availability. That's right. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Herm Edwards.
Let's go.
Shoot.
And don't press send.
The good happens after midnight. Don't press in. All right. Anything else? You play to win the game, all that good stuff.
That's right.
That dude needs to write a book.
That's right. He should. He's busy. He's busy building a program out there.
Hey.
And I'm loving it.
He's getting it done. And I enjoy watching him play. He coaches like it's an NFL game, too. He's not worried about trying to hang 50 on people. He wants to defend and win by one. That's what he does every week. It seemed like every week, every game, it was, whether it was high scoring or low scoring, it was a close game. Defend and get the ball, score to win, or defend to keep the lead. And that's what it was.
I found myself staying up
to watch
those games.
They got a loaded
and
staff.
You know me, I'm on a fifth grade bedtime schedule. But I will stay up to watch those games on the weekend.
Look, at least you on the fifth grade, bro. I'm probably following like a second grade one.
Well, it's been a process.
The hell's wrong
it's been
y'all.
A process.
I'm just.
Oh, we're not West Coast. We're not West Coast. Hey,
look, there comes that point in time your body just like it's time to shut down.
It's 10 o'clock here. You all eating dinner. We're ready to lay down.
And it ain't got nothing to do with me going to sleep at 7 o'clock like you.
What time you get up in the morning?
What do you mean, what time do I get up in the morning? 7 o'clock.
By 7 o'clock, man, it's 10 o'clock here. We're already.
But what time did you get up? There's a difference. What time did you get up? 10 o'clock. We already rolled.
It's all relative,
okay,
right?
Okay, Steve Harvey. You can't sleep till 9 o'clock on the West Coast. By the time it's 9 o'clock on the West Coast, it's noon, and then the stock market's been open for 3 hours. What the hell are we talking about? Yeah!
That's right. That's right.
Stupid!
That's right.
That's dumb. That's so dumb.
Look, man.
Wise words.
The day starts at like 5 a.m.
Oh!
Look. That's what happens when you're getting jump toned.
I'm sorry. No.
When those four are feel like 18.
Man, look, for real. Like, look, you get up, you take a few minutes for yourself. You take it where you can get it.
Take it where you can get it. Before we flip into this basketball thing, nothing works today. I just want you guys to know. So we're gonna read. I'm just gonna say mine. Thanks for listening to the Getaway Podcast with Tony, Sean, and Jeff. Go to the YouTube page, hit that subscribe button, engage with us, comment, share it. The numbers are climbing there regularly. There is no button up there. There's nothing working, Tone. Nothing pointing at. Don't worry about it. I got it.
It would be right there.
It would be right there if we could find it and get it to work.
I'm just pointing at you.
We're lucky to be live. But I appreciate you for listening, for liking it on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. Shout out to A&I Radio. They give us love too. Say word, son.
Word, son.
Word, son.
Evan told me to say, oh. Yeah. Man, now it feels like normal.
That was a Quiet Fire reference.
Quiet Fire. So basketball, we were talking about in like the pre-pod, right? When I was trying to figure things out in the pre-pod, we were talking about how it's been really weird, the season and the tournament with all the upsets, and then Blue Bloods aren't Blue Bloods this year with Duke and Kentucky not making the tournament. And I didn't understand why. I felt like it was Corona. Jeff gave me an answer, but I didn't understand his answer because I needed more depth. And then here came Tony talking like Coach Pitino and giving us full details and everything like he was on CBS Sports with Clark Kellogg and them. So, Tone, go on and explain to the people why we feel like the season is not the season and what – if it's going to bounce back or not.
Well, okay, Sean. Let me try to gather all that back in because, you know, I brought it the first time. So in my opinion, myself and the other qualified folks that sit on the panels that you watch day in and day out on TNT, TBS, ESPN, and all that, I feel like, yes, we will get back. We will get back. This year has been a wacky year. Corona to me and the challenges that have come from that, the residual effects when it comes to college basketball, I felt like Corona was the great equalizer. Okay. I feel like Corona evened out the playing field, if you will. See, there's teams that we're used to seeing be successful. Okay. Year in and year out, these blue blood teams that you can count on being in the tournament, count on being high seeds. We've talked about for years now where they've kind of changed. They're bringing in the blue chip players. They're bringing in the one and dones, the ones that don't last very long. But what they're bringing in is talent, okay? And basketball is a game of matchups, and we know that. So typically those guys come in, and as they're learning, know what I'm saying? They're getting after it. They're winning games, and they position themselves well. This year, nobody had that time early on. Nobody had that time together that preseason. So it kind of balanced it out for these teams that maybe aren't bringing in those blue chip guys, okay? But they have teams that are seasoned, have teams that are mature, they have teams that have been together. So although they don't have a lot of the time, you know, in the preseason getting ready, nobody had it. But what they do have is equity built up together. Mm-hmm. And so that's what you're seeing now. You're seeing these teams knock off, you know, teams that are getting these stars, if you will, and are going to have them. I look at a team like Gonzaga, about them, where they've really turned the corner and are mentioned as a powerhouse team. But one thing that they do is they keep players, okay, and they become seasoned, and they do sprinkle in those talented blue chip kids, okay? They've been doing that here lately. But they're still going to be very seasoned, okay, and very mature and have that time together. So you look at a team like that, Dominic, whereas you look at the Kentuckys, they're always getting, I mean, they're coming in, they're bringing in, you know, in some cases they're starting, you know, 3-4 kids that are blue chip kids coming in, right? And they know they're only going to be there for 1 year. The problem with that is those kids didn't have that time together. So I feel like as we come out of this, it's going to kind of swing back because they're going to have the same time. Now they're going to be able to get ready. That's the long-winded answer.
That's a great answer.
Yeah. And but like you said, Tony, I think part of that's going to swing back to those kids, some of those kids staying though, right? Because if not, you're still going to run into that turnover cycle. If the one and done's continue to be one and done's, they're still not going to have that time to kind of gel. So you're still going to kind of experience that inexperienced play up against those teams that have the more experience.
But I think, but see, we've always had that. What I think though is going to happen is you're going to bring that talent in, and then they're going to have that time in the preseason. They're going to have that time together, whereas they didn't have it this year. See, from a talent standpoint, once those kids, you know, these teams were building themselves, these programs were building themselves on those kids, they were still dominating, right? They were still dominating against these teams. Now, you would occasionally have a team here and a team there that made their way through, okay, that wasn't expected to, and you could say, wow, they're a senior-laden team. They're a team of seniors and juniors, guys that have stuck around, have been there, you know, fifth-year senior, things like that. And you would have a couple sneak through here and there. Right now, man, you can just look at what's happening. You're seeing, it's a crapshoot right now in the tournament. Whether it's going to be one of those teams or one of these, quote, higher seeded teams that is expected to run through. To be honest, I mentioned it earlier. I really believe there's only two teams that can win this thing right now. And I think that's Gonzaga, who's really everybody's number one, and Baylor. Because I think there's that big of a difference. But I think anything else can happen in any of these other games. And that's just my take.
Pardon Tony's take.
Pardon my take.
That's pretty good.
But you know what? What this is doing, though, let's be honest, man. We talked about this last week. The interest in college basketball has not been there like it was in the past.
Yeah.
And I think that with all of these quote upsets and everybody's brackets being busted on day one, it's bringing a lot of attention. I've watched more NCAA basketball this year so far. I've probably watched in the last 5 years. Watched more already. Because right now, it's like you don't know who's going to win. It's crazy. And anything can happen. Ask the Buckeyes.
Ask Virginia. Ask
Illinois. Ask Virginia. Yeah. Okay? That's crazy. And that's what we want, right? We want parity. We want the unexpected. Okay, if our fandom is not driving us to watch, what is going to make us watch? Having no idea who's going to win. That's going to get eyes to the TVs.
Yeah.
So, kudos to the NCAA. Now, we did have our first team fall victim to the Rona, to the vid in the tournament. It was an unfortunate situation. What was it, VCU and Oregon game last night?
Yeah.
Canceled, no contest. Oregon, the seventh seed, I believe, moved on. Because of it, man, that stinks. I mean, think about that. Think about being an 18 to 22 year old, you know, excitement of making it to the tournament, even though it's a bubble tournament, the excitement of making it to the tournament, the opportunity to play in the second round, and then all of a sudden, you get called out into the hallway with your coaches, and you're told, sorry, you guys are going home.
Yeah, that stinks. And it was just like last year, too, when all of them got sent home, or they didn't even make it there. But, you know, once again, it was that thing we talked about. Don't be the reason why your team can't play. Right? Don't put yourself at risk and put the whole team at risk because, you know, you're being lax in judgment and doing something that you shouldn't be doing. And by accident, no one's saying you're going out and do it on purpose, but by accident, you go out there and you get caught up. And Tone, I'm going to take half of that kudos you gave to the NCAA and I'm going to put it in my pocket because they ain't getting it. The way they did the women teams when they got there, talking about they had their weight room set up for the men and the women. You guys see that video?
No, I missed that video.
Yeah, there was a big uproar. I can't remember. I think she played for Oregon, maybe. Young lady filmed the weight room set up for the women's teams. And it was basically a triangle rack with some dumbbells.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
And the men's was all suited and booted with benches and inclines and declines and all kind of stuff. And then now you got, you know, people trying
to see where they changed that.
They did. Well, shit. Why do they have to change it though? You know, you got organizations like these retail stores that were tweeting out, we are ready. We'll be loaded in hours. We'll have the women's side set up in hours. We're just waiting on the okay from the NCAA. And that's a shame that it comes down to that. Like the thought that the women don't need to lift is ridiculous. What happened to fair treatment? And, you know, you set aside all the money and scholarships and Title IX and all this other stuff. And now you blatantly don't even set them up to try to stay healthy and competitive. That's ridiculous. So I'm taking half that kudos crazy. Back.
That's fair. That's fair.
Didn't realize. That's crazy. Fair.
Yeah, man.
Man, you made a somber note, Sean.
I know, right?
I'm just saying,
took
man.
The air completely out the sails,
why man. They tripping? Tell them quit bugging.
Hey, that's my stimmy shimmy. Segway.
Hey.
Segway.
Stimmy.
Okay. Stimmy, Coco Puff.
Uh-oh.
Congratulations to everyone out there who have gotten their deposits and their checks on the way. Go stimulate the economy. Hopefully it found you and helped you and yours. Let's get this thing going now. Bigger picture, okay? And Jeff and I were talking about this as we were awaiting the green light to start the pod. I feel like, okay, we're heading into some darker times economically, job-wise. And it's not a result of anything per se, but it's something that to me has kind of come to light the last week or two. And that is when I look at kind of where we're at, talking with different folks, you know, we actually have a friend who's, you know, who manages a staffing office, a major staffing office here in the region. Okay. The amount of jobs and positions that they just can't get filled right now. Quite frankly, you know, some people will say because people don't want to work. When you start looking at, you know, case in point, there were a couple major restaurants, okay, major fast food chain restaurants. So, you know, maybe lower wage jobs, you know, fast food that actually had to close down. And we've seen that in different parts of the country. I've had to close down for a day or two because nobody was coming into work.
Mm.
And so second part of that is, you know, we've heard about these places looking to replace workers with kiosks and you know, do more with less, but go more automated, go more touchless. And some places are already doing this, right? So, you know, you look at that. Man, I don't know. I don't know where we're going, but it doesn't look good to me. Jonathan? Jeffrey?
They call you Jonathan?
Yeah. I don't know. Look, the future with, you know, I mean, we took advantage of it, right? We invested in a company that's going and developing touchless shopping, retail, and software as a service, data collection and analytics. And
shout out to Popcom.
Shout out to Popcom.
That's right, shout out to Popcom.
Yeah.
That's right.
Don Dickinson, stock with the two people watching with
Columbus,
the,
Ohio.
The two people watching this right now, raise the stock. Let's go.
Yeah, you hit that like button, son.
Hit the like button. Share that.
Right. But that's the future of it, right? People don't want to be touching stuff. People don't want to be all close to stuff. You know, just going in, facial recognition, going in. Oh, we recognize you, and hey, we got your information on file, and this is what you want to buy. Boom, bang, bing. Get out of here. But I don't understand the whole part of, you know, you talking about this person's got all these jobs available. Is that because we're leaning on unemployment insurance and all that stuff? Is that what we're doing? We're letting that expire before we go out and get jobs?
Well, here's the reality. Okay. We talked about this before. We talked about this 6 months ago. We talked about this 9 months ago. Mm-hmm. Okay. For some people, they are getting paid more now not to work. Remember when we've had that discussion?
Yeah.
And so if you're going to pay people more,
uh-huh,
to sit at home and not necessarily require them to go out and find these jobs. Listen, here's the reality, man. And I'm not knocking anybody, and I'm not, you know, taking any political side. I'm not doing any of that. Here's the facts. There are a lot of jobs out there right now. There are. And I can say that, you know, I'm giving an example of one person in one office in one city,
yeah,
that has 200 plus jobs available right now on her desk,
right,
that she cannot fill. where in a given day she'll have 5 to 7 people that just don't show up for the job we're given, that they came in and sought out,
right,
and were given. And they just don't show up, okay, on a given day. That's in one office. I can't for the life of me think that that's unique. And so that being the case, my question then becomes, okay, if these jobs are available, and I'm not saying it's your final job, I'm not saying it's your destination job,
right,
but at the end of the day, people aren't in a situation right now where it necessarily pays to go take the job, especially if it's not going to pay them what they're making not taking a job right now.
All right.
Yeah.
And I think that's a problem.
So I wonder if, just to kind of counter that just a little bit, how much of it is based off of the not wanting something temporary, but wanting that permanent position, you know, and it's hard to take a position where it's temporary and not necessarily have the opportunities for benefits and things of that nature. If you're in a situation where, if you're the single parent trying to take care of somebody, you also think about like childcare, that single parent who maybe did seek out that opportunity, had the opportunity, had things lined up and something fell through, and all of a sudden I don't have anybody to watch my kid. I can't get to work. And so there's a lot of different things that I think fall into that impact that. It's not so much about people not wanting to be able to work, but you got schools that are partially in and out, right?
Mm-hmm.
As far as it, so where normally during the work day or those traditional work hours, the kids are in the school building. So I can go work at least from 8, 9 to 2:30, 3 o'clock, because I know in that 7 hour window, my child is taken care of. But now, because you have this remote thing going on, you have kids who are learning at home and parents who have stayed at home, who now their jobs are forcing them or starting to push them back into the workforce or back into the brick and mortar environment. And now you've got to try to figure out like, okay, now my child is still 3rd, 4th, 5th grade. Can't necessarily leave them at home. You know, the days of latchkey kids like we were growing up, a little bit different now. So I think you run into that challenge where, yeah, you are going to have a bunch of positions sitting open because you got a lot of people stuck at home, stuck, you know, not necessarily in a negative way, but they're at home tending to and taking care of their kids because their kids are in a remote environment. There's just a lot of factors. I think that you can't just, I don't think you can throw a blanket over it and say that it's because people don't want to work. I think there's a lot of different, I think no one wants to depend on anybody. I won't say that. Most okay. people don't want to depend on, you know, most people want to be able to sustain themselves. You know, and I'll just say this, for those of you out there, this will be a great time to be entrepreneurs. Look for your gift and work within it to try to start something new until you're able to get out there.
I buy that. The first thing you said though, you know, people not looking for something temporary. I don't buy into that train of thought. I buy into you do what you have to do. You know, I mean, I look at myself. Wow. I look at people that I know who didn't find their calling or their final destiny. It might not even be their final, but their career, you know, job, you know, until later in life. And so up until then, I think you do what you have to do. I mean, I know people that DoorDash, you know, and work two jobs. Right? Look,
I'm not too far from that, bro. Like there was a point where I left the classroom. And when I was leaving the school building from teaching all day, I went to go ref for another 3 to 4 hours a night. And then mm-hmm. would get home, lay down, and get up and go to school the next day to start to teach, to then turn around and hop back into another few hours a night to go ref. So I get it, you know, and like I said, not afraid of that hustle, working 2 or 3 jobs to try to make sure that things get covered. Like I said, and it's not to say that people won't do that. Just think, you know, we came up in a different period and different era where we've seen people have to get out there and hustle to do that. So for us to do it, it didn't seem brand new. Well, I don't know. I just think there's, even when I look at students, the mindset as far as the work and doing the work, from the student standpoint, or even to watching how our parents, you know, there was a time like when we were growing up, if a phone call went home, our response was, please don't call my mom. Don't call my mom, because I don't want her to come up to this building, because if she come up to this building, it's mm-hmm. a wrap for me.
Yeah.
So what do you want me to do? Because I'd rather do what you want me to do than to have my mama come up here and get me. Right? These kids today, call my mama, you know, and then, you know, and then when you call the parent comes up there and they clown, you know, it's one of those things where they come straight at the adult, you know, and not to say that our parents didn't, you know, take our side, but it's like one of those things where, you know, at least in the presence of the other adult, you better not say nothing. You better not be disrespectful. Mm-hmm. And you allowed your parents to do what they need to do, but it's, there was never a point where the school was always at the blame or the adults were to blame. So I think there's a little coddling that has taken place that has kind of.
I'm gonna pull it back to the job thing and finances. Childcare has always been an issue when it comes to work, especially for those that are below the poverty level, poverty line as far as their income. Childcare has been a major issue all the time, right? How can I go work 40 hours? I got a couple of kids and I'm a single mom, or I'm a single dad and I got a child I got to take care of, but I got the childcare is more expensive than the money that I'm making. It's not even worth it. So a lot of times people stay on the system because of that, right? And then now you add in the fact that there is a virus out there that can potentially harm your children. And I'm saying when they go to school, and I'm saying after school, if you paid for childcare there, right? Mm-hmm. So some of those places are now closed, and parents don't have the access to that daycare center where, okay, my child is done with school and now they go over here for a couple hours until I'm done with work. I think that's a factor in people not wanting to get off that unemployment insurance. And you know, because they don't have anybody to take care of their child. So if I can go down there, yep, there's 200 jobs down here at such and such as temp service, but I can't go down there and get it because one, from 8 to 3, my kid's not at school. And then from 3 to 5, there is no daycare center. right? So that's where, you know, they were talking about funding for schools to make sure the schools are healthy in a sense of the virus and ventilation and cleaning and
right.
all that stuff. And then I don't know if there's money going for these, for, I mean, hopefully they can get some of that PPE money for these daycares so they can provide their services to these parents that need it the most. So if I got two kids, Johnny and Jill, and I can't go to work because I got to watch them because the school's not open. And then I can't do nothing because there's no daycare. I can't send, like, you know, if I'm running a daycare center, I'm not willing to risk taking in all of your children. I don't know what you do when you're at home and then you're gonna bring them to me and then I could get sick and die. Mm-hmm. It's a double-edged sword. So I can see why there's an imbalance when it comes to, there's a bunch of openings, but people still aren't willing to take the risk or they just can't do it because they got to watch the kids.
That those are all good points. So I guess one of the things that, you know, in my original statement, one of the things that I fear, okay, because let's put ourselves in the company's standpoint, right? So they have all these jobs that they can't fill, positions that they can't fill. So what do? They have to adapt and adjust and adjust their infrastructure, right, to be able to be financially sound and profitable based on what they have, right? So what does that mean? Sometimes that means eliminating jobs. Sometimes it means finding different ways to do it so you don't need those people. Mm-hmm. So what happens when we start to come out of this?
Pivot.
Okay. And then those people are, well, that's right. So the pivot has happened. Okay. Let's say at that point, the pivot has happened in these companies, right? So, you know, the kiosks are in the buildings. There is more automation as it comes to, you know, in industry, right? And then these people don't have jobs to go back to.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so, in the sense so of fast food, though, I mean, you know, McDonald's was already making that shit. I mean, before COVID, you could walk into a McDonald's and see a kiosk.
Well,
and order your food, you know, right, order your food right. from the kiosk and walk up to the, and then there was somebody to hand it to you. But you had that option. But so that's not even a COVID thing.
It also goes back to the thing that we talked about, Tone. Here is your opportunity, right? At the very beginning of this, you saw all these Ivy League schools and colleges were making all these programs free and available, take you some classes and go get certified in something. Some people try to clown. I saw a video where they're like, yeah, you got a lot of nerve telling some people, and it wasn't talking about us, but I'm talking about in general, telling people, well, if you ain't getting better than during the pandemic because you got the opportunity, then you're just looking down on people. Well, wait a minute. Here's your opportunity. You got free this and free that, and you got nothing but time. So if you can't see big picture like Tone's talking about where things are going to go away, well, you better be pivoting with those companies who are leaving those other jobs behind and finding a new way. So to pivot, they need technology. Well, guess what? Go out there and get you some STEM education. And then you can just jump right back into the workforce. It is not disparaging for us to say, get better during this pandemic because you have time. Don't waste your time. That's the only thing we're saying. We're not saying, yeah, if you don't, you're a jerk or you're a dummy. We're just saying here's an opportunity to get better and prepare yourself because you will get left behind. Like Tone said, they're going to make a move and we're going to shut down a 25% of the factory, of the warehouse, because we don't need it any longer because we've automated all these things. But guess what? Right. They need somebody to repair those machines. They need somebody to code those machines. They need somebody to do all that stuff. So you can pivot and stay with the company and get you an education. Look, it doesn't, some of these things don't require 4 years. Some of these tech jobs don't require 2 years. Some of these tech jobs only require certification and a willingness to learn. So right now, Eva's youngest son is making a pivot. He works for the water company in a city, so he's got a good job, but he's making a pivot. He's like, I don't want to work hard. I want to work smart. So he's right now studying for his A+, CompTIA A+, because he's going to pivot and get paid a little bit more money to work on tickets and fix computers versus out there working on a busted pipeline and installing hydrants and whatnot. So he's 20-something years old. He's figured it out.
Yeah.
Right. So I told him, you don't have to have a bachelor's degree. You don't have a master's. You don't need an associate's. You just need a certification saying that you study this, you learn it. These are the basics, and then people will hire you off of that alone. And I told him, give yourself 2 months. If you dedicate it, you can study for that and watch videos and practice on a quiz app that they got on your phone. And in 2 months time, you can be certified CompTIA and open the door for tech jobs. 2 months out of, it's been a year already. Could have a bunch of tech certs, and
that's right.
And that's not the only thing. There's other jobs and fields. Go get you certified in something, and then you're ready for the pivot.
Yeah.
That's right. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Getaway Podcast. All right, we got to pay some more bills. Jeff, do us a favor.
Doing it right
the
now.
Subscribe button right there on YouTube.
Okay.
Like it, share it. We appreciate it. Right there.
Can't hear
right there. All right.
Can you hear?
Also, you can follow us on any social media platform.
There's a whisper there.
For instance, Twitter, Facebook,
Instagram. But it's there.
All that good stuff. And last but not least, you can check out the audio on pretty much anywhere where you can listen to podcasts. So,
cut you off, Tom. Sorry.
A-okay.
Back at it.
Say word, son.
Word, son.
And Jeff.
And Jeff. Jeff's like, don't be talking about me like that anymore, man. My team is still in the turning.
Oh, my God.
Here we
my
go. Team We're is right still playing.
Right back to it.
Right to
it. Dude is relentless.
I ain't saying nothing about it.
What is going on?
I'm just giving this man his due.
Look, I'm gonna let him talk good and bad for me. Go ahead, Tom. You got it.
Hey, you got to give them their due, man. When they deserve it, they deserve it.
Oh, I don't know.
Man.
I
got nothing.
I'm at a loss, too. He stays on you, man.
Hey. Got nothing.
It
is what it is at this point. Hey, like I said,
Hey.
You know me. I'm going to call it like I say. We have not done what we needed to do, period. So, I mean, until it changes. Hey, but until it changes, it needs
Jeff,
to change.
You know what you've become.
Because every time I bring up anything else, y'all, man, that was back then. That
you
was
know
back
what you've
then.
Become, Jeff?
So I'm going to stay right where I'm at.
You know what you've become, Jeff? You remember the after school shows and whatnot, and it's about kids in school, and there's a bully in the school, and every day the bully takes the kids' lunch money, but he's been beating his tail. Tone has been punching you in the eyeball and taking your lunch money, and now, you know, and in the show, that you know what the kid does, he gets
but
smart.
But this is not.
Hold on.
But this is not. But it's not the same.
But in the TV show, hold on, let me finish. In the TV show, the kid has gotten smart. He puts the money in an envelope. He turns the corner to go down the hallway. There's the bully. He just hands the kid the envelope. No more punching the eyeball. Take my lunch money, son.
It's not the same.
It is.
Here's the thing. It's not, because right now the success that the Michigan basketball team is having, right? It's like the basketball program has been consistent, even, you know, slightly before Juwan and now with Juwan, they've been playing pretty well. But here's the thing, from a football standpoint, the difference between us and that school in Columbus right now is the fact that they have dominated the series. Like we did in the early part of the late 80s, early 90s, where there was that shift. The shift has happened. They're dominating it. There's nothing to argue or go back and
right.
forth with. Like,
and it's just never swung
and
back.
Quite honestly, the pendulum has not swung back. And quite honestly, I mean, the games have not been close. I think there may have been 1 or 2 years where it was close, but it hasn't been really. So there's... I mean, outside of me just sitting there saying, yeah, Ohio State sucks. I mean, the data.
Give them your envelope of lunch money is what I'm saying.
The data does not support me.
That's what I'm saying. You've become this.
No, it ain't me giving up no lunch money. It's just
you're giving up your lunch money.
You're both right.
Facts.
You're both right.
You turn the corner, you give the bully an envelope with your $1.25 for lunch. Is that how much lunch is?
$1.25.
And then you go down the hallway, he's happy.
So,
but you know what? You have
what
a
I've
peanut
learned.
Butter and jelly sandwich in your book bag and you're happy.
What I've learned is this. When you see the bully
at the NCAA tournament.
Until the tide turns and you're bigger than the bully, you just turn and walk the
other
way.
Gotta get in the weight room. Gotta get in the weight room.
Like, so not, right now, not, so right like... now, so right now, I'm in the weight room preparing for that next opportunity. Because as of right now, we're not ready to compete with the bully.
So you need to be on the recruiting trail. You need to be on the recruiting trail and the weight room. Can you do both at the same time?
So, hey, we'll see what happens.
You done made this man tear his equipment up in his.
Look, you see me? I done threw my mic, pulled my mic off and everything. I'm done.
Now, Sean, it's not, Sean, it's not like, I'm just being facetious and saying, giving him credit for finishing the season. I mean, dang it, you're supposed to finish the season, right? I'm not giving him credit for finishing the season. I'm saying kudos for the success that you are having and wishing continued success for the duration of this event, which is the NCAA tournament.
Here, at the end of the day, when the Big Ten wins, all of them, so...
You know what? I hate that. I wouldn't expect you to have a conference, but at the end of the day, y'all not in the conference. So if the Dallas Cowboys don't make the playoffs, you know who I'm not rooting for? The Giants, the Redskins, or the Eagles. I'm not rooting for none of them jokers to win nothing. I'm not rooting for any other NFC conference to win a Super Bowl. God dog it. Man, if y'all gonna hate, those are your rivals, man. You know what? When Georgetown was making it, you know who was not rooting for Georgetown? Syracuse fans. Are you crazy? That's a lame excuse because you've heard for years that the SEC is better than the Big Ten, and now collectively we gotta sing kumbaya when one of us make it because we know if we root against them, the SEC is better, is what we're gonna hear. That's the reasoning behind this. You are never supposed to root for Michigan. And you are never supposed to root for Ohio State. And Auburn don't root for Alabama. And Alabama don't root for Auburn. And Notre Dame don't root for none of y'all.
And you know what?
Okay.
That's not true. Because okay. I can guarantee you every SEC team roots for an SEC team.
No, they
team.
Don't.
Yes,
Charles
they
Barkley
do.
Had a, okay, he okay. said he had they had to convince Charles Barkley to say Roll Tide yesterday on the thing.
And he said it.
You know what they said? Say it again. He said, it's a one-time thing. I can't say it again.
Just because he don't say it, don't mean he don't believe.
He's not rooting for Alabama.
He's from Alabama. Hey, yes, he is.
Two things.
First off, went to Auburn because they didn't recruit.
Dog, USC and UCLA. USC don't root for UCLA and vice versa.
Okay, so two things here. I'll be honest with you, it gets tiring kicking that dead horse over and over and over. That's the first thing, okay? I will say this. The second thing, I lied. I ain't rooting for them. I really don't care.
Right.
I hope they go out in this round, too.
Thank you. But thank you. Don't be all cordial on TV, man. I want the raw, real. I want Wu-Tang up in this mug.
You said Wu-Tang.
And you know why? Because, Jeff, I know for dang sure
you
wasn't rooting for us against Alabama.
Man.
No, you weren't.
Man.
I don't care what you said.
He was not.
He was not rooting.
He
was not rooting.
Right. So why are we playing this dance?
Like you say, look, I didn't care one way or the other. I just didn't care.
Us Big Ten, we always root for the Big Ten. My foot.
Hey, my money coming into the conference regardless. But at the end of the day, yeah, I was all right with it. I did like y'all quarterback though. I did like watching play.
Do you think North Carolina roots for Duke and vice versa? All ACC. When Krzyzewski's out there holding up trophies and cutting down nets, do you think that Dean Smith and Roy Williams was like, yes, ACC, we did it? Hell no!
I think when Roy Williams was coaching against Mike Krzyzewski at the end of the season, he had his foot on his throat, and then he told him when they hugged afterwards, real close,
I got you.
Have fun at home. That's what I believe.
I got you.
That's what I believe.
Oh, no doubt about it. I'm sure about it.
Ain't no rooting, man. There's no rooting interest, man. It's like game war.
It's the same way as with Juwan and the Maryland coach, right?
Right.
Ain't no love lost there.
I take it back. Have fun while it lasts, Jeff, because once it's over, it's over.
That's right. And y'all just enjoy watching again. Just continue watching the tournament from at home.
We're going to put 100 fingers this year.
Ooh, 100.
All right, 100.
100. The 100. Hey. The 100 that you didn't let us put on you last year. Why? Because you didn't show up to the game.
Because y'all.
Is that still in effect? I have a question. question. Hold on. Give me a second. Hold on.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Getaway Podcast with Tony, Sean, and Jeff. You see that subscribe button right there? Do me a favor. Go ahead and click that when you are on our YouTube channel. And if you don't mind, go ahead and like, comment, and share the link with your friends. You can also follow us on all of our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Again, like, comment, and share. We enjoy every opportunity that we get to engage with you. We're also available on platforms such as Spotify, Amazon, and any other streaming service that you access your favorite podcast, in addition to any Alexa-enabled devices.
This is his way of saying, you know,
thank you for supporting and listening to the Getaway Podcast with Tony, Sean, and Jeff.
That's what he's saying. Yes.
Say word, son.
Word, son. Good God. I forgot what I was going to say.
Say word. It's okay, Sean. Don't worry about it.
It's all right. Old age does that to you.
It was so long.
I know, right? It was so long that your whole beard just grew in white.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Sean.
I know what I was going to ask. Tone, is the 100-point ass whooping still in effect?
Whoa, since whoa.
Beep. I can say that.
Beep.
Because he's talking about my beard. is that butt whooping still in effect?
Why are you mad? Because you still got to wait 13 years before you can try to...
Okay. Do better. I still got the can of popcorn over there from last time.
Yeah, but that wasn't for your game.
You know what? Coach Day, to be honest with you, Coach Day has more class than to hold grudges like that. So until Jim Harbaugh opens his mouth, we're probably just going to beat the heck out of him like we always do. But if he opens his mouth in the Big Ten, you know, meetings again and the calls and all that kind of stuff, listen.
I was so looking forward to that. I mean, that's one of the best lines. You know, when coaches start to going at it, that's one of the best lines I've ever heard. I can't wait to hang 100 on this team.
Yeah. That was funny. It was funny.
That's beautiful.
Okay, last thing, because we're about over, right?
Yeah.
We're about over.
Yeah.
About over. Okay. I don't know how many people saw this, but Deion Sanders took his first loss as a college head coach. Yesterday.
I saw it.
Okay. To Alabama State, 35-28.
Yeah.
Now,
good
how
game.
Do you feel about post game? Obviously, it was a great game. How do you feel about post game Alabama State?
That's bull.
Popping up on the Jumbotron, a picture of Jerry Curl, Deion Sanders from the draft with the gold chains from back in the day. How do you feel about that?
I love the pettiness.
Do you really?
I love the pettiness.
Do you really?
I don't believe in classy. I don't believe in classy when it comes to that.
Yeah.
I don't believe in it. Because look, because Deion has been the star of this season in that conference and you know, the HBCUs, some of those coaches – them head chacos probably are not happy with all the coverage that he's getting for that program, right? And he made a very, very good point before the season, and he said it again. He said, you better get me now. You other schools, you other HBCUs in the SWAC, you better get me now before I get my guys in here. So they're getting him now. And he said it was classless. Deion didn't like it. So he's gonna remember it. He's gonna write it down, and he's gonna be ready to roll with him. I'm okay with it. I like the petty. I love the petty. Go ahead, Jeff.
You know, and at the end of the day, it's all about the show. You build up stuff, right?
That's right. It is.
Nobody wants to see the boring, like, oh, nice little. People want to see a little.
That's true.
You want to see a little bit of that. That's what makes the rivalries. Everybody wants to be. I want to be
that's
that
good
rival,
point.
Right? I want to be that part of that Jackson State when. Who's their rival? Is it Prairie View?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, so it's like, so this is a great chance, a great space for the SWAC to get this pub.
What it is, you know what it's been for me, man? It's been an education. I enjoy it now because, you know, in the fall, we don't get to watch those games. You're always going to watch I always try to watch the best game of the week and then have a couple different games on. But I may sit down for when Grambling played Southern and watched that game. But other than that, man, like I'm not seeing it. I don't get to see it. And I've really enjoyed watching these guys play, all these schools get after it.
Yeah, but they never gave it to us, though. I mean, at the end of the day, we got the one bowl game that we would do mid-season.
Yeah.
If you happen to live in Indiana or Indianapolis, you had the
Circle City Classic. Yeah.
And then here in Chicago, they started doing the Windy City Classic. So, I mean,
right.
Outside of being exposed to those, you just didn't see and get that exposure. So I think it's great. I think if it requires bringing a little petty into the into the situation. Yeah.
Okay. I get that. I guess it's, you know, I guess when I think about it, we do the same thing year after year. We come up with different memes to express like the result of our game with you guys. So I get that. I agree. Carry on.
Oh my God. And on that note, whew. Huh?
You gonna take us out, DJ?
Yeah, I'm taking us out, baby.
All right. Thank you everybody for tuning in to the Getaway Podcast with Tony, Sean, and Jeff. We have a lot of fun doing this. We appreciate y'all tuning in, checking it out, sharing it, liking it. At the end of the day, it's just a chance to get away from the monotony and everything going on. We look forward to getting with you next week. Jeff is going to do his best Tony impression after Ohio State loss and be gone. So it'll probably just be me and Huffman next week. See, I can poke fun at myself.
There you go.
I can poke fun at myself. See, I can do that. But have a great week.
Man,
tune in. Listen over and over.
Happy birthday.
And hey, go hug your mama, man.
Happy birthday.
Go hug your mama. Safe travels.
He see
safe
how he travels. Tried to play you, Jeff? He tried to play. He knew you wasn't going to be here. He tried to play.
Look, you know, right. That's all right, though. But look, I ain't running across no victim because my team lost.
That's what's
up. That's right.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for listening. Look, thanks for watching this. Hey, go to the YouTube page. Go to Facebook. Do all that stuff. Shout out to A9 Radio for hooking us up with A9. The dope beat. Yo, they shout us out on their show all the time. Go listen to them. They go on Tuesdays. A9 Radio, 937.com. Say words, son.
Words.